to the choir master with stringed instruments, a psalm of David. Answer me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have given me relief when I was in distress. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer. O men, how long shall my honor be turned into shame? How long will you love vain words and seek after lies? But know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. Be angry and do not sin. Ponder in your own hearts on your beds and be silent. Offer right sacrifices and put your trust in the Lord. There are many who say, who will show us some good? Lift up the light of your face upon us, O Lord. You have put more joy in my heart than they have when their grain and wine abound. In peace I will both lie down and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. So we have a psalm that is well known to many of us. I'm sure there's some here on our meeting that either had this psalm or some version of this psalm sung to them as children before bed, or they sang it to their children at times before bed, or if you had a more traditional church structure where the Lord's Day ended with a late service, maybe a 7 p.m. service, sometimes this would be the doxology or the closing psalm for worship as people prepared to go home and go to bed and prepare for the week ahead of them. Many of us know it as a psalm that is valuable as a lullaby, something that is sung before bed. Now, I'd like to look at it together and note a few things as we look at it. And the first thing that is worth noting is that, again, the psalm has a superscription. The superscription reads, to the choir master with stringed instruments, a psalm of David. This is, again, a psalm that David has written, and in its context, it was to be sung with instruments. We don't know what direction there was outside of that, but we know that it was written with the choir master or the chief musician in mind when the psalm was written. And the psalm is divided nicely with that word Selah. Remember, the word Selah is a musical term, but it's also a theological term. It's a rest, but it's also a rest where we are going to pause and we are going to meditate on what is said. It's not just a pause and, you know, catch your breath and start singing again, but it's pause, meditate, reflect on that which we've heard. Think about this, let it get into your soul, and then continue again. We don't always divide psalms along the Selahs, but we do want to acknowledge when they're there and pause. The first division in the text is verses 1 and 2. And you'll notice that verses 1 and 2 is a prayer for help. It starts with a prayer. Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have given me relief when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. O you men, how long will you turn my glory into shame? How long will you love vanity and seek after vanity or false things? So there's this prayer for help that the psalmist gives, and that begins with this plea, answer when I call. This is something that we're able to bring before the Lord in our prayers. You know, at times it seems as though God does not answer our prayers, and we can begin our prayers in this way. Lord, answer when I call you. This is something that that I'm in need of. And we know that if the psalm is connected in any way to Psalm 3, which, remember, I've told you to not put too much into the order as far as historical order, but we know that there is something here where David again is in trouble. Again, he's struggling, and he's saying, Lord, answer when I call. Now, why is David able to do that? Or why would me, as your pastor, why would I encourage you to boldly come before God and say, Lord, answer when I call upon you? Well, David tells us that too, doesn't he? He says, answer when I call, O God of my righteousness. Why is David righteous? It's not anything within himself. David is righteous because God has given him righteousness. And because of that, which we call imputed righteousness, it's been put on David, because of that righteousness that comes from outside, Luther's fun term, alien righteousness, that righteousness that comes from outside, David then is able to come and to have access to the throne room of grace. That's what the author of Hebrews says. We're able to come boldly to the throne of grace. And this is what David is doing here in Psalm 4. He comes asking for God for relief, and he does it on this basis of the foundation that he is righteous, and he is righteous because God has given him that righteousness. Now, the psalm goes on and it says that you have given me relief when I was in distress. There's really, in Hebrew, this is a really vivid phrase. It's, you have enlarged me, or you have made me big in times of distress. So there's a foe, an adversary that comes before David, and the Lord himself has made David big. The Lord has made him enlarged as a way of protection. You know, we can think of all sorts of animals or teenage boys that do this. You know, you could think of a cat. If you scare a cat and its hair stands on end, it will look quite significantly larger than it is. Or if you've ever gone to the arboretum to look at the beautiful flowers and you see the peacocks walking around trying to impress all of the peahens, what they do is they enlarge themselves and they strut around and they show the other males how strong and big they are. And they also use that to impress the ladies. And this is sort of the language that's here. You have made me big in distress. You have enlarged me when I am in distress. And the word distress is the same word that we would have for affliction or foes or adversaries. It's the Lord protecting David in the midst of this. And then in verse 2, David uses the term sons of men. And this is a term that deals with rank or position. You'll see in the ESV, I believe that is footnoted. It says, O men, and there's footnote 1, and footnote 1 will tell you that these are sons of men, or these are mighty men, men of rank or men of position. So David is here acknowledging that his affliction comes from the hand of men of power and of influence. These men are turning honor into shame. They're promoting lies. They're promoting empty words. So what's David going to do about this? We see there's the Selah, so we want to rest, we want to reflect and meditate, and then we move into verses 3 and 4 that give us these great contrasts. The contrasts that are there, David says, but know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. Be angry and do not sin. Ponder on your own hearts, on your beds, and be silent. Offer right sacrifices and put your trust in the Lord. So the godly have been set apart by God himself for himself. This is his delight. And despite the hardships that David's in, despite the hardships of those who are coming against him, David takes comfort and security in this fact. The Lord hears when we call on him. You see that? That's the end of verse 3. David says, I know this. I know the Lord has set apart the godly for himself, and the Lord hears when we call on him. So he began the psalm saying, Lord, answer when I call. And now he's saying, I know the Lord answers when I call. The Lord hears when we call on him. And then verse 4, he says, be angry and do not sin. Ephesians 4:26, this is quoted in the New Testament. The Apostle Paul gives this encouragement to not let the sun go down on our anger. And the word for anger here is, again, descriptive. Remember, I've said to you before that Greek and Hebrew are different in that Greek is very precise, like with using an X-Acto knife, and Hebrew is very descriptive. It paints big word pictures. The word angry is the image of one who is trembling. You know, you can just see he's so angry that he's shaking. And this is the word that is used here. Now, what I want you to notice is David puts this contrast here. He's already said the Lord hears when we call on him. And then he says, be angry and do not sin. Ponder in your own hearts, on your beds, and be silent. Now, here's two different ways that we can approach the conflict. David says you can go to the Lord in prayer, who answers when you call on him. Or you can lay on your bed and you can be angry and listen to your heart. Those are very different things, and they result in often very different answers. I'm sure every one of us here has been angry. I know I have. And when we are angry and we do just sit and listen to our heart, our heart often does not tell us what to do that's biblical, does it? It often doesn't point us back to the scriptures. But David reminds us that another way is to bring that to the Lord in prayer, because the Lord hears when I call. We're able to be angry and sin not, but that often doesn't happen by listening to the ponderings of our own heart. It happens when we cry out to the Lord, who hears prayer. And then there's that Selah. Maybe the question there is, who are you listening to? And then there's answers given. There's answers given in verses 5 through 7. We have 5 through 6, which seem to be an answer to the rebellion of the mighty men. He says, offer right sacrifices, put your trust in the Lord. There are many who say, who will show us some good? Lift up the light of your face upon us, O Lord. So the mighty men, those that are going against the Lord, trust in him, look to him and be saved. Be in the word. There are those that say, who will show us some good? And David sees the answer in living under the benediction of God, living under that blessing that comes down upon us. The light of God's face is to bring us joy. He says, lift up the light of your face upon us, O Lord. We know that this is the language that comes from Numbers with the benediction, and living under that good word of God, that blessing of God, where his light does shine down upon us and his face looks towards us. This is something that is going to cause you and me to lift our countenance. And what a contrast to the distress that David is currently living under. He knows that he needs to put himself under the benediction of God. That benediction, of course, comes through the mediator of the new covenant, who is Jesus Christ, even as David would look ahead. So we find joy there. We find joy in the heart. And that's what verse 7 says, that this is a response. You have put more joy in my heart than they have when their grain and their wine abound, or their new wine abound. So David is confessing that, you know, in times of abundance of grain and times of abundance of wine, these are things that are joyful in life. And yet the Lord's countenance being placed upon him is something that is going to even bring greater joy. And again, the Apostle Paul uses that idea in the New Testament as well, where he says to not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. That contrast between wine and the Spirit is made frequently in the Scriptures, wine pointing us to the things of God that we find within the Spirit of God. And then he concludes with verse 8 with peace and safety. So sleep and peace come together in the closing verse. Remember, I opened the conversation or the teaching with saying that for many, this is a lullaby. Many have been sung to sleep with this psalm. And he says, in peace, I will both lie down and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. David understands that he serves a sovereign God who is going to bring whatsoever he will to pass. Now, remember, David is not in a safe situation. We wouldn't look at David in this where there's mighty men coming against him and say, oh, you're safe, David. You're fine. You're safe. But David understands that under the blessing of God, under the benediction of God, under the sovereign will of God, that he's safe and he's able to lie down in peace and sleep. The Puritan John Flavel said, David resolves that sinful fears of events shall not rob him of his inward quiet, nor torture his thoughts with anxious pressings. He will commit his concerns into the faithful fatherly hand that has wrought all things for him, and he means not to lose the comfort of one night's rest, nor bring the evil of tomorrow upon the day, knowing in whose hand he was, wisely enjoys the sweet felicity of a resigned will. Now this tranquility of our mind is as much begotten and preserved by a due consideration of providence as by anything whatsoever. So David just saying, I'm resting in the Lord. This is not an easy, safe situation, but I find peace and I find safety in it because God is sovereign and God is good and God is the one who has made promises unto his people. And I think there's a lot of encouragement in that for us as well. We can look to Jesus Christ, and we know that we are trusting in him, and we know that because we trust in him, we are given that bold access to the throne room of grace, where we're able to bring our concerns and our problems and our cares. We're not required to just resolve to lay on our bed and try to figure things out on our own. You know, we don't have to just listen to our heart, but instead we're able to bring those things before God. And we're free to be angry. We're free to, you know, use any emotion that God has given us, and yet without sin. That's what David says here. And we trust in the Lord. We trust in his hand that he will guide and that he is the one that will give peace, that sense of shalom, that perfect peace that comes from resting in him. and he is the one that gives safety. So I think the psalm is very encouraging, and it's a great way to end a Wednesday night with singing it as well.